Another one.
Everyone and welcome. We are the Godfathers of Podcasting. It is Tuesday, May 10th, which means it's my mom's birthday. Happy birthday, Mom. We're broadcasting live right here on the Godfathers of Podcasting.com. And in case you're new to the show, haven't quite clued into what this is all about, the listeners are the ones that named us because we are the OGs. We've been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting. You can always find audio archives of this show on every major podcast provider. The video archives, which in my humble opinion are always more fun, are exclusively available on our website, godfathersofpodcasting.com. And since you're on the website anyway, why not check out the shop, buy some swag, show your support. And since we are live right now, you can interact with us. You can send us a text message. You can get us on WhatsApp. The number is up on the screen. It's 437-375-2000. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Donnie Da Silva, and it is my extreme pleasure to introduce the Crosby and Stills to my Nash, the Mike D and MCA to my Ad Rock, the Sharon and Lois to my Bram. It's Notorious T.I.D. Chris Tidwell and my bro Danny O.
Yo, Sharon Lois and Bram was the shit, guy. I had their one Elephant album. Skidamarinky Dink was on that album. And yeah, man, that was one of my first vinyls.
One Skidamarinky Dinky Dink.
That's the one.
Keep it going. Oh, that's the skin of a dink is pink, I think, but when it goes through, it's blue.
Whoa.
That one.
Nice. Wow.
Remix. Your neighborhood was different than mine, bro. I don't know.
Remix. Man, is that what I was listening to at four?
Yeah, you just didn't know what it meant.
Damn.
I had this version that my uncle brought over. Maybe that was different.
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys shoot the video?
It was actually recorded by Sam Kinison.
Yeah, I didn't hold the camera, if that's what you mean.
No, I wouldn't think so.
What's going on, fellas? It's been a long week, huh?
Yes, sir. How you been,
Donnie, how have you been? I've been doing good. How have you been doing?
I've been good. It's been a crazy last little while.
Donnie has this "I'm doing five things at once" to his voice right now.
Mm-hmm. I sure do. Yeah. Cause I'm seeing something that's blowing up on our live feed. So I'm trying to address it. Can you, imagine though, that over the last little while, I've been sprinting towards the event that happened last weekend. OTT, Only the Toughest, had its debut event. And I want to just quickly take this moment to say thanks to everyone who came out. Thanks to everyone who was a part of the event, both on the show, the professional wrestlers, the referees, the technical crew, the backstage crew, the logistics crew, everyone that helped put it together. It was a great first show. Top to bottom, not one bad match. Really, really solid entertainment. And you can see over here that...
Let's see it, man. Let's see it.
I had to take care of this baby because Harry Smith, who won the title, was a little concerned he might not be able to get it through customs. So,
wow.
Check out that sucker. Yeah,
that looks dope.
That's awesome. Congratulations on that event. Or as Dan would say, happy 3-day anniversary.
You got to wait. I would have at least waited the week, Ted.
This is my new Danny O has an announcement music.
I love it. That's amazing.
But yeah, so anyways, thanks to everyone out there. Announcements coming soon about the next show. But it was so much fun, top to bottom. There's going to be video available as well. Clips have already started to show up online, and then the entire show will be available soon.
Sick.
Good job. Yeah.
So, all that being said, unless anybody here wants to recap anything from their week, y'all want to jump into the highlights and lowlights, or as we call them around here, the hits and shits?
Okay.
Absolutely. Have we got a theme song for this yet?
Maybe this is it right here.
a long ass fucking time ago in a town called Kickapoo.
Kickapoo. That's what I do while mowing the yard, ladies and gentlemen.
I love it.
Unbelievable.
Dan?
Yeah. Tell us what's been your hit.
What has been my hit this week?
Well, I love this part.
Yeah. You know what? Dude who attacked Chappelle apparently still behind bars, as opposed to having had his bail paid for him, which I hope, I don't know this for sure, man, but I hope it's a kind of a sign that people aren't going to get away with attacking comedians, man, because, you know, for so long, people have been talking about the sensitivity of people not being able to not just take jokes, but like everything's a problem. Like everything needs to be a concern as opposed to just being able to like laugh at shit. And obviously, since the Chris Rock slap that Will Smith did on the, you know, for the Academy Awards, there's been a concern that people can get attacked on stage. And I'm wondering if this is just part of that. Hopefully, dude will be punished to the extent where people know that they can't be doing this, man, because he got his ass kicked before getting arrested anyways, which we talked on the show last week is exactly what you deserve when you try to disrupt, not just disrupt entertainment, but physically attack an entertainer. You got to get got, man, and hopefully he'll be paying as he should be.
Well, sometimes there just has to be a message.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean? Like, because you know as well as anybody else, sometimes when something like this happens, 9 times out of 10, somebody gets arrested for it, and then they're back out on the streets within 24 hours.
That's exactly it.
And quite honestly, yeah. You know, must protect our celebrities. So I say death.
We must protect people in general. Just from this kind of violence.
Well, there's
this is ridiculous. People just randomly walking up and playing the knockout game. Just randomly, you know, pushing people into train tracks. Like, the fuck is wrong with y'all, man?
Well, the problem is there's a system in place that is so screwed up, just allowing these people back on the streets because someone can pay for it. It's obviously a business, and it's insane. And the fact that, you know, right on down to like, you know, some of the worst crimes ever, you could just be back on the street as long as you could pay for it. And I was just reading how there was this dude, this teenager was accused of rape, but the judge denied him any bail. It was a female judge, too. And I think the story kind of revolved around how we need more female judges who have the kind of sense that this particular judge had to not let a rapist back on the streets. There shouldn't be any money, any amount that should put someone on the streets who's been accused of such a crime. So
the fact that we have a society where the gender of the judge still seems to bear weight shows how far we still have to go.
Totally.
Yep.
You know,
totally. Well, I mean, it's unfortunate because obviously gender issues are such a big deal in today's world. And, you know, I would add, I got a couple of shits. The fact that down in the States, they, you know, they're passing, you know, anti-abortion laws in states like Texas and shit. And it's like the simple fact that a woman can't make a decision for her own body comes into question down there. And it's like we're going backwards in terms of human rights, civil rights, equal rights for all. When you're literally having people fight to take away rights from people.
And I'm just going to say
that
the same people online who were saying it's my body, so it's my choice not to take the vaccine are the same ones that are saying abortion should be banned.
They literally use the words my body, my choice when confronted about whether or not they were wearing a mask. And it's amazing that how lost it is on these people that they could use that type of verbiage and not understand how hypocritical they are. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy to me, bro.
Tid.
Yeah.
You got a highlight? You got a hit of the week?
Wow. A hit? Yeah. I got a hit and I got a shit. So let's start with the shit because we're in the shitting mode. And Dan just took a long ass shit. So mine's going to be a little bit quicker because mine typically comes, my shit comes from a pure point of jealousy. And this point of jealousy is directed towards one man who we just can't seem to hear fucking enough of in some people's eyes. And that's one Tom Brady. Yeah, that's right. The greatest football player to live right now. It is unbelievable. And
wait,
Tom Brady.
Hold on. I didn't understand that statement. The greatest football player to live right now.
That's right. And the reason I say
today,
there's a specific reason. Listen, not necessarily. If you would have watched, let's put it into point of view. If you would have watched the last combine, you've got linemen, 340-pound linemen that are running 440s. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is ridiculous. Yeah. The new age of athlete is only getting better. Tom Brady is better than the last greatest football player that lived at his time. You know what I mean? And there's going to be another one. It is unbelievable the things that they're
another doing one.
With kids nowadays. Another one. So it wasn't enough that Tom Brady said, I retired. Now I come back. Now I retire. And now he's going to come back again. He's already set himself up in his retirement years to go get a job, obviously, doing, you know, play-by-play broadcasting with Fox on this one. 10-year deal, $357 million. Pure jealousy point of view, but fuck that shit.
If I was Terry Bradshaw, I'd be very nervous.
Bro, Terry Bradshaw should be nervous anyways. He's got like five rocket daughters and a rocket wife and no boys in that family, man. That dude should be hella nervous every day of his life.
Hold on. Remind me, where did Brady sign the deal with which network?
Fox Sports, I believe it was.
Oh, so literally Terry Bradshaw should be nervous.
Yeah.
Because he's an old-ass fossil, and Brady's going to like swoop in and take his spot.
The Brady's not even officially retired. He came back, right? No.
Well, that's the point.
So he signed this contract before he's retired. It already has, whenever he's retired, that job.
I think the contract...
He already has a guaranteed $357 million to stop playing football.
Right.
Right. And I from what I understand, because I saw that article today, that deal kicks in whenever he chooses to retire, be it next season, the season after. There's no expiry date on this contract.
Unbelievable. Wow.
Must be nice. Must be fucking nice.
Unbelievable. So that's my shit.
Can I just throw this out there about Tom Brady, though? Have you ever heard him say anything interesting when talking about football? For real. I'm not being a dick. And maybe it's because he's a guarded player. And maybe when he steps outside of that inner circle, he'll open up. But I've never heard him say anything interesting.
If you've ever, have you ever listened to him do any of the like the, cause he used to do the, I forget what show it was. He'd do it on the weekly or whatever. Right.
Like one of those,
a podcast, Sirius XM.
One of those. I've never listened.
He's it good? He's actually he's a pretty, he's going to do well. There's no doubt about it. And that's the fucking other part. He's Tom Brady. Of course he's going to do well because he still has from this time till that time to learn how to do that in off time.
You know what I mean? Doubts his
and IQ he'll hire the right people to teach him how to do that.
I have no doubts his IQ for the game is off the chart. I just wonder if he's willing to put himself out there. But that happens with a lot of high-end players when they retire and become broadcasters is they're afraid to talk like a media member because they still want to relate to the boys.
Dude, you know? Romo is one of the best guys to listen to because he's watching the game, he's telling you what they're about to do because he sees it from that point of view, from that quarterback's eyes. So if Tom Brady can bring that to the broadcast, it's going to be very, very interesting. I applaud that. But again, $357 million.
It's kind of like in baseball, right? When you have a really good color commentator, usually a former catcher who can watch the play and he knows what the next pitch is going to be. And he tells you, you know, one of my favorites forever has been a longtime Blue Jays color commentator and former player, Buck Martinez.
Yes.
Who's dealing with his own issues right now. So get well, Buck.
God bless him.
But yeah, it's a skill, man. Like
no, it is, especially in baseball, because as long as I've loved and followed that sport, there has never been a time I've watched a broadcast and knew exactly what pitch was thrown. He knows every pitch the second it's thrown and understand what's coming next, what the batter should be looking for. It's incredible the knowledge that some of these guys have. You can be an excellent player and not a good broadcaster. It is a skill to understand the game well enough to communicate it to a watching or listening audience.
Well, that and baseball's a work.
The guess ahead game that good color commentators do on pitches is really impressive.
Yeah.
But also equally impressive is when you see that ball coming in at 90 something miles an hour, and the color commentator immediately identifies it as it's a hanging curve, it's a slider. And when you watch them at full speed.
Yeah,
it looks no way. So that way.
Similar. I have never noticed. I have to watch that shit on slow-mo replay eight times to go, okay.
Unless it's like a forkball, you know.
Yeah, they got to freeze frame it on the grip. That's the only way I'm like, okay.
Yeah, no, but think about it. At least they've got a job to be able to call those things. Nobody's doing that in the game of soccer. Nobody is sitting there calling. It's a curved hook with the inside step of the right foot out to the block. Nobody's doing that. They just wait for the goal so they can just scream goal for like 30 seconds.
I don't think any of us is qualified to talk about soccer. That being said, my shit of the week does come from the world of soccer.
What? And
only because it's literally related to shit. My shit of the week, my low light this week, has to do with a Brazilian soccer star who goes by the name of Marcelo. So Marcelo has lost his first team spot with French club Lyon because of inappropriate behavior. This started off last summer when Marcelo was demoted because he was laughing during a teammate's motivational speech. Now, first and foremost, when you hear that, you go, okay, I don't know if a guy on an American professional team would necessarily lose his starting job for that, but it is a dick move.
But what if it was a shit speech?
But then
clearly it wasn't motivational.
He has apparently been removed from his first team spot more recently because of his incessant ripping of ass. Apparently,
so wait, hold on. He was removed from his duty.
Apparently, he needs to be rebranded.
He was doing a shit job.
Wow!
All he does is
He's just sitting in the meetings, laughing and fucking cutting farts and making jokes about it. Like, yeah, that's a dude who didn't want to be there in the first place.
That's a dude. Didn't want to be there.
That's a dude. Yeah, dude didn't. Didn't do. Wow.
I can't even fathom the thought. And I just
you smell it.
If I could smell from here, I might be able to fathom.
Fans are always farting. Well, I don't get it. That's not some locker room regularness.
Yeah, like he's the only guy that farts in there.
Exactly. What's that all about?
But you ever been around a dude that just nonstop rips ass and you literally want to punch him in the face? Like
myself, dude, sometimes.
Yeah, you're classic.
You ever run a rip-us? What, you guys ever run a rip-us to yourself and get mad at yourself? Like, oh, god damn.
I disgust myself.
Yeah. Here's a shit. I once farted in my own face.
Oh, what?
I was in the car.
On purpose?
No, man. I was in the car. I was parked. I had something I had to get in the back seat. So I'm like, oh, yeah. So, I turn around. I go over. Hunched over the back seat, fart while I'm in that position, grab what I have to get, come back in this regular seated position, right into what I had dealt, and was mad at myself for it. Don't do that, folks. Don't fart in your own face.
Did you pay yourself $20 afterwards, at least? Like, there's people that pay for that shit.
I wasn't into it. I realized that it was not my thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
The first one was a freebie, is what you're saying.
Yeah. And I'm passing on any future attempts.
My hit this week is a really interesting one. And whenever I come across these kinds of stories, I love sharing them with the audience because this is just a really cool thing. You guys know I'm a bit of a tech nerd. I'm the total opposite of Dan in that way. Dan would love a world without tech. I'm always pushing for new and cool innovations.
I just want a world where tech doesn't fuck with me. Tech's fine. Just stop fucking with me.
It doesn't fuck with you. It's just user work. Error. It's just user error.
Right. Would you fuck a robot, Dan?
No. So that would make more sense as to why they keep getting back at me.
Let me share this story with y'all before we get to our featured guest. There's a community housing project in the Bronx that has installed an on-site food scrap digester. This machine can convert 1,100 pounds of food waste and turn it into 220 pounds of high-quality fertilizer per day. And you go, okay, who cares?
Like what? Like you're throwing out food? Like you're scrapping?
Yeah, like the stuff
you would
throw in the trash. right? So instead of throwing it in the trash, it goes into this machine that's like the size of a big air conditioner, and it turns it into high quality fertilizer. And they're saying that this fertilizer can be made locally and then distributed locally for residential and commercial property, which is kind of cool. This has so many implications. They're saying it'll cut down on the massive rat problem in New York because there's less food scrap for the rats to go after. They're saying that this is possibly going to help a little bit, but every little bit helps with New York City traffic because you got fewer trucks that are coming in and out making those big ass deliveries. Fertilizer is also, you want to get real fucking scientific, one of the biggest producers of greenhouse gases. You know, you got quarry dust, ammonia byproduct, and having to constantly import fertilizer because we don't produce a lot of our own fertilizer in North America. I don't know if y'all know this, but we are constantly importing it from countries like Norway and Russia, which means massive carbon footprint. Reduction in CO2 is huge. So if you can reduce the carbon footprint, then this thing is just constantly paying for itself. And the cost of these units right now as a brand new prototype is about $50,000 into a residential apartment building. They're also saying that with normal fertilizer production, methane levels are through the roof, whereas with this one, it's almost non-existent. This one little metal box can literally change the way people live.
You know,
and I think it's so friggin' fascinating. And they're talking about this becoming the norm in apartment buildings and eventually individual homes everywhere. I think it's really cool.
So
go ahead, shit on it.
There's the third line of the joke. So your hit was a shit, your shit was a shit, and then your closing line was a shit as well. I mean, that's a lot of scientific stuff coming from you, Donnie. My hit this week was not nearly as nerdy as yours. Mine is thank you very much to Britney Spears this past week because she has posted a bunch of nudes on her Instagram for the world. And I just want to say thank you very much.
Wow.
And really? That's kind of how I roll. So fuck you, you nerd.
I'm talking about reducing carbon footprints and methane gas. And you're talking about Britney Spears' booty being naked on socials.
I think it's pretty fascinating how much they can and we should be using things that would otherwise be garbage and turning it into something positive.
That's what I'm saying.
Do you guys know about doo-doo injections?
What?
This is a real thing. They are literally fecal transplants are used to correct ulcerative colitis. My mom's told me this on Mother's Day. It's like, they're injecting doo-doo into people.
Here's the thing. Once it goes out, you don't shove it back in.
They shove it back in because if you have good bacteria in the gut, it can help with, like I said, ulcerative colitis, among other digestive or intestinal issues. I was like, I would have definitely lost any kind of, this was on a game show, true or false, for $1 million, I would have lost it. But fecal transplants, since we're talking about so much shit this week, let's continue the shit talk with some more scientific breakthroughs. Fecal transplants, I hope none of y'all ever need one. It's a real thing.
I feel like that's what this show is to most people every single
fecal
week.
Fecal transplants? Yeah.
Fecal transplant.
I would have to say it's on par.
Wow. That was gonna be the name of my punk band. Actually. I don't know if you guys know
fecal
this.
Fecal transplant.
Not. Yeah, okay. Fecal transplant.
Good.
I love it. I would say that's what we inject every week.
I just got a text message, by the way, that came in 437-375-2000 on WhatsApp. And it says, Dan, you said you accidentally once farted in your face. What else have you accidentally done in your face?
Oh, doesn't matter. He wants to know if you've caught one.
I know somebody who has. Donnie knows him too, and I cannot say his name, but one of the funniest stories I ever heard was from a Bredgen who told me that he shot himself in the face.
Let's just leave that one out there.
Yeah, we'll leave that. That's figure it out on your own.
Okay. You haven't like in your hand and given your finger a little lick or something like that ever in your life?
We
nah.
we are we're right up against the clock, fellas, and we have our guests sitting backstage. At least three of the four. I'm not sure if the fourth one is joining or not. I hope so. Maybe someone backstage can give me a nod or a shake. I'm seeing a nod. So, you know what? We can start it off. And if he joins us in a bit, we'll just bring him in when he joins. Let's just, it'll just be like a big old run tag. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is time right now for the big hello. And, you know, in order to facilitate this big hello, we got to hit the button three times because we got three different cameras coming in. One, two, three. Ladies and gentlemen, this band has become an absolute viral phenomenon. They have over 4 million followers on social media, and they're an absolute juggernaut on TikTok. Their cover of Kickapoo by Tenacious D was duetted by Jack Black himself. And I know you've seen it because it's got over 90 million views. If you haven't, what planet do you live on? They have a new album being released later this year entitled Hurry Up and Wait, which already has a video out called Backwards. You may also recognize the frontman of this crew as one of the top male singers on American Idol 2015. It was there that the world first became aware of this dude with a huge personality and a throwback of a power rock voice, the likes of which we have not had in more than 25 years. They're coming to the Great White North with a sweet little loop May 25th in Guelph, May 26th in Thorold, May 27th at one of my favorite places in Toronto, Sneaky D's. They are going to be in Ottawa on May 28th. They are going to be in Barrie on May 29th. We'll have all the details up on godfathersofpodcasting.com. Now, this band is so unique, you can't put them in a box. If you're not down with Johnny, you can kick rocks. Ryan's on bass, you got to give him props. Griffin beats it up, makes the drums talk, and Adam's up front, man, he's such a fox. Now give it up for AMH, Adam in the Middle Ox.
What's up, guys?
What's up? That was great.
What's going on, dudes?
We're still mad.
Not much, man. Not much. I just want to.
This is definitely the fullest. This is definitely the fullest our studio has ever been. But this is really cool. Mm-hmm. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
So, I gotta just wrap my head around this. Like, Tid and I were talking about this before the show when we were backstage before we went live, and I was saying, man, these AMH guys, they have got some hustle, they've got some grind, they've got some work ethic, because a lot of people look at that duet video that. You know, if people weren't familiar with AMH, all of a sudden they were, right? Because of the Jack Black thing. That, I think, put you guys on the map for a lot of people. Yep. But it's not like it just happened. You tried and tried and tried to get his attention over and over and over. What was that process like? And what really triggered the thought process of, you know what? We're going to make this guy come to us.
Well, it was interesting because we started out on TikTok. And TikTok, it's all about following the trends. Mm-hmm. So we were trying to jump on some trends here and there. And our comments were always, this guy sounds like Jack Black. This guy reminds me of Jack Black. Is this Jack Black's son? Like, who are So eventually, after thousands of comments saying this, we said, okay, we've seen other people kind of doing like this day one of trying to do something. So we said, all right, day one of trying to get Jack Black to duet us and finally just get his acknowledgement after all these comments just came flooding in. So eventually, day two, day three, day four, now all these people that were commenting on our videos are going to his videos and commenting on his videos. You got to go check out AMH. They want right. to duet them. What are you doing? Go check out their video. So then they started going to him. So eventually... I guess enough of his friends sent him the videos, enough of the comments got to him, and he finally duetted us, and it was amazing.
That is amazing, man.
His reaction. I was going to play the video, but you know what? Forget it. His reaction, and the only reason I'm not going to play it is because I feel like most people have seen it.
And if you haven't, go check it out.
Go check it out and give them another view, guys. So his reaction to Kickapoo with Adam singing is so over the top. It's so perfect. And I think his reaction is really what pushed it and got everyone on board, right?
Caption, he says he's passing the torch. I'm like, that's amazing. That's an
how cool is that? Like, that's got to feel surreal, right?
Oh yeah,
it's amazing.
So help me understand, how many attempts were there before he finally responded?
So we actually got to day 7 before he responded to that one.
That's pretty good, man. One week,
a bunch of Tenacious D songs and just like classic rock songs that he's covered in the past. To just push the comparison even further, and I guess it worked.
So since that time, have you had one-to-one contact with Jack Black?
Oh, I wish. I mean, we've messaged him on Instagram. He follows us on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Sick.
We messaged him in a direct message. You know, we love your stuff. We're huge fans. Thank you so much. We'd love to work with you in the future. And he liked the message and then didn't respond.
Hey, man, that's still fantastic progress, though, man. If he hits you guys up with a duet in 7 days, it's been 30 years. Big Daddy Kane ain't hit me back yet.
Yeah.
I've been trying.
Well, you got to get on TikTok, Dan. How's Big Daddy Kane going to duet you if you're not even on TikTok?
He has liked some of my comments, though. I'll say
there that. There you
go. That's all I've gotten. In all these years, did you guys, before all of the comparisons where fans were making Jack Black comparisons, had you guys already had sort of a vibe for Tenacious D and were following his music, or did it just happen to fall in your lap that the comparison made sense for him to be the guy?
Well, I think we've all listened to Tenacious D. I mean, I'm a huge fan of his already, a fan okay. of his acting and the band. Yeah. So it was a no-brainer for me. Clearly, I've been influenced by Jack Black, and there's no denying it.
Okay,
but everyone has just
see. I was going to take it one step further, and here's my biggest question to you guys, because you're young. All of you guys are super young compared to myself. Everybody on here is like young. You're kids, but you have this sound that reminds me. Like I'm talking your solo stuff. Your sound that reminds me very much of like 80s hair metal fucking rock. Mm-hmm. And it's rad as shit. Like you've totally got like this Tom Kiefer kind of vibe to you when you sing, you know what I mean? That Cinderella sound. And I'm just like, how are these young dudes channeling this 80s, you know what I mean, hair metal vibe, and nobody's catching on? Like, or am I just missing the boat and people are catching on to it that way instead of just always, oh, it's the Jack Black guy and his band, you know what I mean? Is it yeah. tough? Is it easy? Has it helped? Like
it's definitely helped. I mean, you know, any publicity is good publicity, you know.
Sure.
And there's definitely been some trickling down from the viral success of our more comedic videos to our music, and we're hoping with this new album that we're putting out and coming up to Canada, making a big scene, hopefully people will finally make the connection that we're also a band.
Mm-hmm.
And we're coming out with new music. So like you said, we're very heavily influenced by 80s rock, classic rock, you know. Cool. And it definitely shows, and we're not scared to embrace that. You know, we love Van Halen, Aerosmith, Guns N' Roses, Kiss. I mean, the list goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to bring that music back. So
that's awesome.
Nice.
I want to switch gears for a second. Johnny, my understanding is that you actually started the Metal Hawks.
That is correct.
So do you ever sit there silently and politely and look at Adam and go, shut the fuck up, this is my band?
No, definitely not.
Sometimes.
More than sometimes? Okay, I love the truth. Here we go. Band fights are awesome.
Oh God! No, we never fight.
Remember that time? Remember that time that when Adam and the Murder Hawks were gonna come to Canada?
Murder Hawks.
Murder Hawks is when they're infighting.
I was actually
okay.
I was actually curious about that. Johnny just finished saying that you guys never fight, but having been part of a group where there was nothing but fighting. How do you guys pull it off? Like, I'm curious to know about, say, the songwriting process or like the development of different songs that you put towards the album. How much input does each member have? And has there been you know, any crossing of ideas that you've really had to work through? Because I know that's been issues. I've had those issues.
Yeah, I mean, every song is honestly different. Like, sometimes it'll be like Adam who will just like bring in like a bass line or something that isn't right, but he'll just like come up with it at the gym and say, hey, I came up with this line or whatever. Sometimes Johnny will come up with a riff, I'll come in with a whole song sometimes, but everybody just always gets their input. It's a very democratic process, and we work at it. I like to think we don't take ourselves too seriously, but we definitely take ourselves too seriously.
But I mean, ultimately,
that's dope.
When you're jamming and you're trying to put together a new song, ultimately, sometimes there's going to be stuff that just doesn't fit that song. Whether it's a riff or a lyric,
and eventually one of us wins.
So
yeah, I'm dying to hear how you work.
How does that process work?
Yes.
Well, it comes down a lot to like our philosophy when we're making new songs is always we need to make this song our best song. You know, we don't want to just kind of put out a new song just to put it out. And it's like, well, we need 10 songs on the album. Let's make a 10th song. Like,
right. You
know, we want to make sure that everything that we make is always constantly the best thing that we've ever made. So, like you said, sometimes we're working on a song and it just doesn't work. And instead of just forcing it and saying, all right, the song's done, it's good enough. Sometimes we'll leave a song. And a lot of these songs on this album, because of COVID, have been kind of in the vault and being worked on for over a year now. And we'll just keep kind of fine tuning it and make sure it's the best that it can be before we put it out there, because we want to make sure that it's our best song ever. So hopefully this album will just be banger after banger.
Why do I feel like Griffin sits there silently going, fuck all you guys, I'm the next Dave Grohl?
You haven't asked him a question yet.
There it is.
Jump in, baby.
Yeah, that's Griffin's question. How much do you honestly hate these guys?
How much do I hate these guys? I mean, they drive me nuts sometimes. And it's only been a few months, so I can't even imagine how a whole year would be with this guy.
We had a conversation earlier before you guys joined us on the air that had to do with a soccer player. I don't know if you guys heard it or not. A soccer player that got demoted because he, you know, during meetings, he was just dropping ass, farting all the time during meetings, laughing at the guys giving speeches and stuff like that. Like,
lost his starting job because he was ripping.
That's what I'm saying. Lost his starting job. So has it come to the point ever where, you know, I mean, outside of like all of the, because once you're into that social media like world, I can imagine like it's a, there's probably a camera on you guys right now filming you doing this stuff. You know what I mean? You always seem to be able to put out content. You know what I'm saying? Like, pay no attention to the red light, Ryan. That's what I'm saying. Don't pay attention to it. Just look straight ahead. You'll be fine. Has it ever come to the point where it's like, man, Griffin, you got to stop shitting in the bus. Like, seriously, go outside. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
we haven't even gotten onto a bus with him yet. That's the scary part.
That's tremendous. And then my follow-up question, obviously, is what made you decide on coming to Ontario and crossing the border like this? You know what I mean? Like, that's a big step for bands at this time, after, you know, this soon after COVID, everything like that. Like, why Ontario? What made you think of Canada?
So, well, actually, Andy from Revive the Rose, I'm sure you know those guys, that reached out to our manager Danny and said, you know what, I want to set up a tour with these guys. And sure enough, we got 5 dates all lined up. Like you said, Guelph will be in Niagara, Toronto, Ottawa, up in Barrie by Lake Simcoe. And sick, you know, that's pretty
look
much
at Ryan. Ryan sounds like he's been here a lot.
Yeah, right.
You know,
who's
the biggest lover of nachos? Who's the biggest lover of nachos out of you guys?
Oh, good question.
That's
and this is why I say that, because you guys are playing in Toronto at a place called Sneaky D's. And Sneaky D's has some of the best nachos going.
Everywhere,
I'm telling you straight up. What you do is you order the vegetarian nachos and then get a side of meat. Yep. That way it's much bigger, right? Because they feel bad because they didn't put any meat on it, but they bring you your own meat to put on top of it. It's smart thinking.
That's genius.
That is genius.
That used to be a hack at Sneaky D's, but Adam's back. That used to be a hack at Sneaky D's, right, Tid? But didn't they eventually put it on the menu, veggie nachos with beef?
Yeah.
I think they did.
Side thing. It's tremendous.
It's the best. It's literally one of my favorite places in the world. If I wasn't already busy that night, I would definitely be coming to Sneaky D's to see you guys. But I will come out to one of your Ontario dates. That I guarantee you. Have any of you guys been up to Canada yet, ever?
Never even left the States.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Griffin has.
I have.
And
I played it in Toronto at this place called the Mod Club.
Which
I heard isn't there anymore. I don't know if I'm wrong, which is so sad because it was such a great venue.
It was a good venue.
Awesome venue.
Yeah.
And I had dinner at this great burger place, Burgatory, which is right near there at the time.
Is Burgatory still around?
Nope.
I don't think it is. Yeah. I think it's now Burger's Priest.
Oh. Well, there's a Burgatory. Really there's a Burgatory in America, so maybe there was an issue with licensing.
Could be.
But we also were playing the Brass Monkey. I've played the Brass Monkey. I was there a few years ago.
In Ottawa, yeah. That's awesome. But
these are all going to be new places for me, so I'm excited.
That's really cool. So, okay. Do you guys, let's do the typical thing here. Like, I have a lot of American family, and we always like to play these little games. Like, how much do you guys actually know about Canada? Like, really? Like, if you had to take a Canadian pop culture quiz, would you fail, or what do you think?
I don't know. I feel like I'd either fail or maybe.
I'd give it my best shot. I don't know if I'd do well.
I bet Donnie's got questions lined up.
I don't, but I'm looking some up right now because this is totally on the spot. let me throw this out.
Oh,
Adam, do you know?
Hold on, Donnie. You actually have Wi-Fi in your igloo right now?
Yeah, guy.
please tell me y'all are not that bad.
Adam, do you know what poutine is?
Oh, yeah. I haven't had any, but I'm excited to try it. I like cheese curds.
Okay.
Can't go wrong. Fries,
cheese curds, gravy, and fries, right? Baby.
Easy.
That's the magic recipe right there.
What is the biggest thing? I mean, outside, and don't pull the typical, because we know you're looking forward to the shows. You're looking forward to meeting new people. You're looking forward to the fans. But, like, what is the biggest thing you're looking forward to just getting back on the road, you know what I mean, or getting on the road and crossing the board? What's the biggest thing you're looking forward to on this tour?
I think honestly, just seeing the country, seeing Ontario. I think Toronto seems like a really nice city. I'd love to hang around there for a bit while we have some free time. Mm-hmm. And
do you guys got any days off? Are you staying an extra couple of days at the end of it,
need
like
some
after
time.
Barrie or anything like that?
Or we're probably gonna drive in like the day before. Obviously, we're not gonna drive 10 hours to the first show. We'll probably stay the night before or whatever, and then just bang out those 5 days.
All right, I got it. I pulled up a quiz. I'm throwing it out there.
See how I gave him time like that?
Because if nothing else, I'm going to help educate you young men so that when you do get to town, you will be better equipped. Okay, so let's say you hit one of these bars and you overhear someone order a drink. They order a Caesar. The fuck is a Caesar?
Uh-oh.
What's a Caesar?
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
Caesar.
Like a Caesar salad?
I kind of gave it away partly when I said it's a drink. It's a beverage.
And it also is very similar to an American version of this.
But it's better. It's way better.
It's one that you would have on a Sunday morning.
So a Caesar?
Like a mimosa type thing?
You're close. A Caesar's absolutely. Like a Bloody Mary.
I didn't know that was a Canadian thing.
You didn't know that?
Yeah. Oh, what the hell?
Caesar,
never ordered.
Here's the difference. Here's the difference, guys. Get this. Instead of just straight up tomato juice, it's clam and tomato juice.
And it sounds gross, but it's not.
That's the big thing that the Canadians did to it. They added clam to their fucking Caesars or to their Bloody Marys and call it a Caesar.
But they're delicious.
Wow. Fit for the king.
Or Bloody Marys.
If you walked into a coffee shop and asked for a double-double, what are you getting?
Crap.
Johnny's like, fuck this game.
I'm trying to help these guys out.
Yeah, you will need to know that when you're out here. If you guys are coffee dudes, you'll need to know this one.
Maybe like an espresso shot kind of thing, like an extra caffeine shot, like a.
I like this vibe like though. That? I like he's already going. Like I need to get jacked up with this stuff.
More caffeine. A double double. You gotta stay up the whole tour, you know? That's right. A double double is a coffee with two milk, two sugar. Now you know.
This is all shit I don't drink. He hasn't asked a question yet that I would even know.
Yeah, Dan's not really Canadian. That's also part of it.
Where's the Tim Horton question?
That was a Tim Horton question.
That was a Tim Horton question. Yeah. That's a classic Tim Horton comment.
That's it.
Okay, how about this one? I'll throw this one at you. What's homo milk?
Homo milk? What the hell?
Never
have no idea.
Bro, it's the same no matter what side of the border you're on.
What do they call it?
Skim milk? Homo milk?
I have never heard of it. Maybe 1% milk?
Rainbow homo milk is close. Yeah, it's homogenized full-fat milk. So if you see something in the refrigerator that says homo milk, it's not a slang term. It's not anything like that.
Yeah. See, I'm originally from Las Vegas, guys. And when I first moved here, I thought it was a rib too. You don't go to the coffee shop and ask for homo milk in your coffee. Because, you know, back home in the States, that's got a completely different meaning to it. So I thought they were ribbing me at first. But yeah, it's a real thing up here.
The homogenized milk. What do you guys call it down there?
I guess homogenized milk. I'm not a coffee drinker, so I wouldn't know.
I don't know. Three things I don't drink. You bring it up, man. Did you have any non-drink related questions for these guys?
Let's see. Let me see if I can find one more. Okay. If you're going to go to the beach, because you might have some nice weather while you're here, and you grab your thongs, what are you getting?
What?
Your flip-flops.
Hey! Who was that with the answer? I didn't even see who
that's
got
it. Adam.
Atta boy,
he's
Adam.
He's a cultured one.
I would have gotten that. There's only one set of thongs I know about on the beach.
Apparently, Dan is less Canadian than all of them.
I didn't realize.
So, I love the whole vibe, man. I like the reason I reached out to your manager is I love everything you guys. Oh, there goes Adam again.
No,
what
a
time!
I'm the new front man.
I love you, right? You've been waiting, haven't you, Ryan? Tell the truth. You've been waiting. Costume.
Get out of the way.
This is a three-piece band, dude. Move along.
I used to be the front man, but that's a whole other story. He's back.
Yeah, you used to be the singer of this group, right?
I was. I came like. I was talking about Johnny like forming Metal Hawk. So I came into the picture not long after he started the band with a couple of his like 12-year-old friends. So I think the drummer's brother had to track my friend down who he knew through me. And it just kind of came up that I got on the phone with the dad who was basically my manager at the time. And he was like, you want to come over and audition for this band? I was like, yeah, sure. I want to be in a band. So I came down to the house. I started singing and it just kind of fell into place.
I want to throw this at you because, like I was saying, I love you, your whole vibe, the whole band, right? Your original stuff, I dig it. Someone's got to pay Adam's Wi-Fi bill.
It's Ryan's group now.
No, it's not.
Adam really needs to go on tour and make some cheddar. So I love the whole vibe. I really do. But your original stuff I think is really cool. I love the covers that you guys do. I love the twist that you put on all your covers. I love the fun, playful stuff you do. I saw the Seth Rollins duet the other day and I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
Seth is super cool to play along with that. But then I think back to mid 90s before any of you were even alive, and I think to a Canadian band who you may or may not be familiar with known as the Bare Naked Ladies.
I've heard
and great So the Bare Naked Ladies, when they first broke on the scene, they made a huge splash by doing mostly comedy stuff and a lot of parody stuff. And then when they transitioned to the American audience, where they did really well with their first big album, Gordon, the Canadian fans turned on them because it's like, oh, you sold out. Now you've gone with this corporate sound and you're no longer the fun, you know, jokey guys. And then the Americans that heard their old shit were like, oh, that's the band we're listening to? Like, no. We're not into this goofy nonsense. We like your actual smash hits. Do you ever worry that maybe you pigeonhole yourself when you do so much comedy that people are going to be like, ah, they're not a real band. They're a parody band. They're a joke band. They're just here to entertain us and tell jokes. And they don't necessarily take you seriously as a band that fucking shreds. Does that ever enter your head at all?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's honestly, as much as we love, and believe me, we do. We love all 3 million of our TikTok followers, all 900 something thousand of our Instagram followers, 100K on YouTube, Facebook, whatever. It's always for us about trying to walk that fine line now of being this kind of balancing act between being like a comedic band that posts funny shit on TikTok and being an actual band that's going out on the road, doing shows and tours and putting out real music. So it's like how I like to say all the time, you try and find the people that come for the memes and stay for the music. And hopefully there's more of that than we like to think.
I wanted to ask you guys if you guys have, what is the concept of the next record? Because as a songwriter, I like to, you know, have a theme. And I'm wondering if there's a theme or what do you feel you guys are trying to represent? Because if it's not just, hey, we're a comedy band, what are some of the themes in your songs, especially because you guys talked about being influenced by 80s rock. I grew up in the 80s and love that kind of sound as well. And in addition to entertaining and in addition to rocking, sometimes there's something behind the music. You have something to say. And is there something that the band represents that you want to put out? What do you guys stand for?
Yeah, I mean, well, I think the major theme of this record was kind of thrown onto us from kind of being in quarantine and not being able to do all the shows that we had lined up and everything. So that the title Hurry Up and Wait comes from
Oh man.
Dude,
we'll never know.
Is the best Irish goodbye. Hold on. He said hurry up and wait and fucking bounced.
Hold on. No. We're going to
hurry up and wait and find out.
No. So, he said the title of the band was influenced by. Now everyone answer, wrong answers only.
This is good.
Okay, we'll bring it back in.
Oh, he's back.
There he is. You were saying?
The title of the band was influenced by...
Wrong answer only.
Okay. sorry for this connection issues. But the Hurry Up and Wait title pretty much just came from us always in a constant state of trying to rush out something. Thing, you know, make a million TikTok videos, get as many followers as possible, but at the same time always kind of having to be like, well, we can't do shows yet, we gotta save that song. Oh, that song's really good, but we can't record it yet because we can't go to a studio. You know, so that kind of being pulled from both sides of hurry up, we gotta do these all these things really fast, but also nope, wait, hold off. So kind of that tension brought about a lot of these songs. And also we have some songs on there about kind of going viral and the behind the scenes work that a lot of people don't really see, all the grinding that you have to do before you can go viral and all of that. And
Backwards is a great example of that.
The video's rad. I like the way that you guys, you know, kind of shot it. There's some parts as I was watching, there's some parts you're like, oh, is this going forward? Is this going backwards? You know what I mean? It was very cool. Very, very well done. I quite enjoyed that. And again, it has that total like hangout party vibe song to it. And I think that, you know, for myself, I'm old enough. Like one of my favorite bands to this day is Spinal Tap. I think that, you know, the Steel Panther guys are fucking incredible. I think there's totally room for that, you know what I mean? That vibe of the music. You guys have that, but you have this very much more like party vibe. I don't want to say like an Andrew WK party vibe, you know what I mean? But you have this like, we can hang out at a fucking barbecue, you know, get this shit turned up and like, oh, there's a guitar. Oh, there's a pair of sticks. Hey, let's jam. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that more people, I think that as more people kind of see your original stuff, they're going to kind of learn that, you know what I mean? So don't get like, I personally dig the comedy stuff. And I think that like, it totally transfers over quite well because you're a character and a half, Adam, and your ability to me anyways, like you're so big and boisterous and out there in the front that, you know what I mean? Like Johnny, quiet little Johnny, who's just secretly counting stacks in the back there. You know what I mean? Like gets to do what he wants to do, right? You know what I mean? Like it's right. Fantastic. And I really hope, I just want to say before we run out of time that I really hope that a lot of people turn out to see you guys and that you get much more recognition because listen, a million views on TikTok is fantastic and everything like that, but it ain't paying the bills. It certainly ain't paying your fucking, you know, internet link, Adam.
Yeah. So, I mean,
you know what I mean?
You need a new provider.
Before we wrap, we did have a few text messages that came in real quick and I want to throw I want to throw some at you real quick. This one's not actually a question, but it came in. It said, Adam, are you in New York or somewhere in the South Pacific? So I thought that was all right. Another person sent us in a bunch of who's most likely to. So,
bye, Adam. Adam.
Not Adam.
So with the guys that are here, you can just shout out a name if you want. Who's most likely to get a face tattoo?
Griffin.
What? Griffin? Are you kidding me?
But are we talking? We talking like The Hangover? You know what I mean? That kind of scenario for the face tattoo, or just walk in like this is what I'm gonna do.
It doesn't specify.
I'm probably thinking like the stereotypical like passing out drunk and somebody drawing a penis on your forehead.
Right. Who's most likely to be late to their own wedding?
Adam.
Adam.
No hesitation on that one.
I'm back.
Who's most likely to not keep a secret?
Oh God.
That's
this is where the band fighting starts.
I think we're pretty secretive people.
Ryan.
What?
Ryan?
Yeah.
I feel like Ryan.
Well, I mean, he has every right. He has every right, though. You like you guys kicked him out of the lead singer position for God's sakes. You know what I mean? He's got to have some tea at least.
For the record, it was a peaceful transfer of power.
Until the breakup in Battle Records.
Yes.
He sent the diss track.
Or don't even wait, just fake the breakup and start doing the battle record back and forth and collecting more money from two entities.
And if publicity is good, we'll
promote the album perfectly.
There it is. You just exposed our plan.
Damn it.
That's the concept of the record.
Who's most likely to cry during a romantic comedy, guys? Who's most likely to cry during a romantic comedy?
I'm going to say Johnny. He's very emotional.
Ooh. Definitely not. Definitely not.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't even watch movies, so good luck.
I can see Ryan getting emotional. Ryan or Johnny.
If all four of you were in a horror movie, who's most likely to die first?
Johnny.
What the?
Well, Johnny, you don't watch movies, so you don't know how to save the killer.
Guys, I'm starting a new band. Whatever.
There he goes.
Johnny and
Johnny's like, I never seen no movie like this. Do I walk towards the guy with the knife?
I love it. We have a million more of these that someone sent in, and thanks so much for that person who sent it all in. I want to mention once again, AMH, they are coming to Ontario. So if you are in the Ontario area, make sure you go check them out. They've got dates May 25th in Guelph, May 26th in Thorold, May 27th at the legendary Sneaky D's in Toronto. Get the veggie nachos with beef. May 28th in Ottawa, May 29th in Barrie. I don't know which one I'm going to hit up, but I'm going to try to hit up at least one of them. Ted, I'm dragging your ass with me, so you're going too. Dan, I know you don't leave home, but dude, we will. What's that?
Dan hasn't showered in 3 weeks.
And oh, if you guys, if you guys on your next album feel that you have the need for a guy that can freestyle like nobody's business, I nominate Dan to join AMH. And then you could be AMH and D.
He has to shower first, though.
No, well, you know what? He's not bad at his hygiene. I will give him that.
Yes, they haven't seen those episodes.
Yeah.
I promise to be fresh, guys.
Oftentimes, Dan takes a very clean butthole anywhere. Yeah, he washes his ass a lot.
TMI.
Great to know.
That's important. TMI.
But it's true.
Is it, though? It's better, you know, now before he joins the band, though. Don't you think, guys?
Yeah, true.
Yeah. These are things.
I fart in my own face. I have to be clean ass. These things. Very much so.
Guys, I would love to arrange something sometime in the future. Maybe when you guys are all in the same room and do a little impromptu jam session. I think that'd be a hell of a lot of fun. Cool. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. It's been really awesome. Somebody throw out all the socials and where the fans can get at you.
Come on, guys, it's not that hard.
Oh, now they
can. Wow,
I don't know if I don't know if my connection will last, but just look up AMH on any platform, Spotify, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, AMH. Woo!
Can I do the plug for him? AMH Band is how you find these motherfuckers on Instagram. AMH Band, ladies and gentlemen. And yeah, I want to congratulate you guys and tell you to keep doing your thing, man. Like, stay in your lane because you have something. You have something special. Keep moving with that train, man. Don't let people talk about they're just a comic band. They're just a this, just that. You guys know who you are, and no one can be you better than you. That's always my advice to artists, man. The shit has gotten you to where you are. It's going to get you to where you're destined to be, man. So keep it up.
Before we say goodnight, one last one that just came in. I got to throw this out there because I want to know too. Adam, which judge on American Idol was the biggest dick?
I mean, not to throw any shade, but J-Lo.
Perfect ending.
I can see why you hired the guy.
That's it.
Oh my God. That
is tremendous job.
And good night.
That's it.
All right. Thank you, Metal Hawks. Good night. Without Adam.
Absolutely.
That was the greatest ever. Okay, guys.
So we all need to shut off and let Adam be the only one left on the screen.
Yeah, actually, I think that's a great idea. Adam, why don't you sign us off for the night?
Hey, good night, everybody. I hope you have better Wi-Fi than I do. Okay. Stay cool, kids. Don't do drugs.
What?
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Adam and the Metal
Hawks,
Johnny and Ryan. That's Notorious P.I.D., Chris Tidwell, and my bro Danny O. My name is Donnie DeSilva. This has been the Wayne Gretzky installment, episode 99 of the Godfathers of Podcasting. We are done this party. Go to godfathersofpodcasting.com. Pick up some merch. Check out everything that we have available. Go to DannyO.com. Check out what he's got cooking. Notorious T.I.D., you want to plug something before we say goodnight?
Nope.
Good night.
That's it. Thanks, folks. We'll see you next time. Peace.
Thank you.
I'm getting ripped tonight. R.I.P. that long-ass fucking time ago in a town called Kickapoo. They lived a humble family, religious through and through. But yeah, there was a black sheep and he knew just what to do. His name was Young J.B. and he refused to step in line. A vision, he did see it, fucking rocking all the time. He wrote a tasty jam and all the planets did align.